98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
23 years in the National Football League, and I can tell you this. There is nobody that I admire and respect more than Lorenzo Alexander.
He's one of those guys, he's like a lunch bell guy.
That blue collar appeal to coming to work. He's going to outwork you every single play.
15-year NFL veteran Lorenzo Alexander joins Doug and Wolf to give us the lowdown on the Cardinals and the NFL.
Oh, how about that? Flash the two right in the face of Lorenzo Alexander, who grew up loving Loverboy. That's right. The only show in America that can make Loverboy cool, even though it's getting harder and harder, I admit, is the Doug and Wolf Show. And you heard the outstanding intro. Former Cardinals linebacker, Bills linebacker, calling in on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. What was your favorite song as a 17-year-old, Lorenzo?
Definitely wasn't Lover Boy. I don't know what my favorite song. I enjoyed music. I didn't have a favorite song, though.
All right.
Yeah, you know. During that time, it might have been like The Chronic, I think that was around when it came out. Yeah. Dr. Dre's album. You know,
okay.
I enjoyed all right. Albums. That's right around in that time frame.
So how about Wednesday, when Wednesday is a Friday? Do you love this day? Do you love Thanksgiving? So.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I got to play on Thanksgiving a couple of times, playing in Washington because we played Dallas a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
And even last year, we played in Dallas as a Bill. So I've always enjoyed it and thrived on it. And my turkey most of the time tasted pretty good on Fridays because I have a solid record, I believe, on Thanksgiving Day.
So that brings up the question, when is the last time you had Thanksgiving on a Thursday?
Regular Thanksgiving?
Yeah, just a regular Thanksgiving.
It was probably the year I got hurt in Arizona, so 2013.
Okay.
I was on IR the whole year.
Okay.
So that was probably the last time.
Mm-hmm. Good to have you. Good to have you here. Lorenzo Alexander joins us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. If you haven't had a chance to hear it, he's on with us every Thursday, and he was nice enough to mix up his schedule a little bit to join us on a Wednesday, Friday, which is what we're calling today. And defense, defense, defense for the Arizona Cardinals. I just played a stat for Wolf that's really weird, and you'll remember the name Robert Griffin III, unfortunately.
Yes, sir.
RG3 has the record for 14 straight games without getting two touchdown passes in the game.
Mm.
Cam Newton is now at 12 right now of not having two touchdown passes in the same game. So when you're looking at the Patriots' offense, what's the key for Arizona's defense when they've got a banged-up D-line?
Well, I think it is about Cam, but you definitely got to first start with the run game, right? You got to be dominant there, and it's more than just the D-line. It's really the front seven, everybody being gap sound. That hurt them versus Seattle last week. I think Seattle ended up averaging, 5.3 yards a carry, and you can't have that. You had a couple of big explosion plays. So stopping that first and putting it all on Cam, because Cam hasn't been Cam. And then once Cam starts trying to throw the ball around, you really can't allow him to give up the big play. They had, I think I had four or five receivers that had 20-plus yard catches in this past game. Even though they mm-hmm. lost, that is not something that's sustainable for my Arizona Cardinals defense to continue to give up if they want to be able to limit them and not have, Cam turn into Superman and get going and break this streak before he overtakes RG3.
So you know how we all feel about injuries. I mean, we all understand injuries. They happen to every team. There's no doubt about that. But when you get a room that has been decimated the way that the defensive line room for the Arizona Cardinals has been, stop and think about that. Every one of their five top defensive linemen were on IR at the same time. Every one of them. That is really, really difficult to get any type of continuity going. Your thoughts on how badly that defensive line room has been decimated?
Yeah, it's hard, but you can't focus on it too much. I think if you go back at the end of the year, that's an end of the year type of issue that you pay a lot of attention to. Like, we could have been better, but this is the reasons why. But when you week to week and just trying to figure out ways to win games and hopefully win this division and get into the playoffs, you can't really dwell on that. It's okay, who's the next man in? Who's the next man up? Get him coached up, and he has to get out there and do his job and hold up. And I don't really feel like it was a big issue versus Seattle. I mean, I thought they played well up front. It was a couple of young guys that made some plays. And yeah, would you rather have Jordan out there, Jordan Phillips? Would you rather have Chandler Jones out there? Of course. Would you rather have Peters out there? Of course. But you still have some guys that's playing pretty well, some pretty good ball that can make plays, and that's what you have to do because everybody in the league is dealing with injuries in some form or fashion, and so you can't really.
A lot of times, though, you know, for the most part, you'll have an injury here, an injury there, an injury here, or an injury there.
But this year, the
concentration of it has been.
And I mean, you can look around, and it's really like that on a lot. Dallas missing their whole offensive line. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a lot of teams like that are missing three or four players, whether it's COVID, injury, mix related, around the league that is happening at a higher rate. So I think it's more about this crazy 2020 year and how it's just impacted every single aspect of our culture, including sports, where you just have these crazy stats or crazy issues that are popping up, and you just have to deal with it. I get what you're saying, Wolf.
I understand, it's hard.
Right, but we just can't worry about it right now. We have to worry about that after the year is
absolutely
over. It's hard to overcome, but you bring in guys. That's why you have a GM in Steve Keim who's always looking at talent, and everybody's trying to figure out. And I know there's a reason why this guy isn't on the team, but can I bring him in and have Brenton Buckner coach him up for this week and get him ready to just do his job? I don't need him to be prolific because we know in the league – you have game changers, but you also have guys that are just, hey, do your job and help us not lose this game. Don't try to be Chandler Jones. Just do your job, stay in your gap, put pressure when you can, and just be efficient, and we can still win. But if you start trying to jump out your gap and not know what you're doing, then that's when you cause issues. But I think you have a good GM and a good, really good D-line coach because I played for Buck. And obviously playing the league. And he's coaching up these guys to get out there and do their job, and that's not the issue.
Mm. So speaking of one of those people, Domata Peko.
Well, he's a huge get for us. You know, I mean, it's week 10, and you're searching for players who can help you win, and he was available. You know, so to pick up Domata on week 10 is huge for us. He's played for me before, so the learning curve is going to be short. He came in 2 days ago and didn't make one mistake. So that's huge for our young guys to watch him work and watch how he communicates up front.
That's Vance Joseph, defensive coordinator of the Cardinals. We're talking to Lorenzo Alexander, who, even though you're on the same side of the ball, so it's not like you ever lined up against him. What, you played him like three times in the last 4 years or something like that with Buffalo, so you've had a couple Bengals games. What does Peko bring to Arizona?
A good veteran presence. I mean, he can make a lot of plays. I actually played with one of his family members actually in Buffalo. So I'm going from afar and getting to know, you know, talking to his cousin about him just because he's a good player. Watched him for years, you know, strong, can hold the point of attack, can make plays. And because of his veteran leadership, I mean, that can help. And he's setting great examples. And again, that's the type of guy that you try to identify who's played in our system, may be available. He's not gonna shock and awe you with, you know, name recognition, but he's gonna go out there and do his job, not make mistakes, because that's what beats you in this league, busts. And we all see that all the time. Like, man, why is this guy so open? Or why is nobody in this gap? Bust. And so you want people that you can trust. And you hear it, Vance Joseph, you know, and a coach used to tell me this, Danny Smith, the best players don't play on Sundays. The ones I trust do, because they understand if you're gonna do your job, be where you need to be, that's one less thing I have to worry about. And so bringing in guys like that, they can help you immediately with that low learning curve, and then you can show other guys this is how you do it. I mean, that's invaluable.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. What do you think the New England Patriots are going to do? How do you think they're going to come in and approach this game and attack that defense?
I think initially they, you know, obviously come out and try to run the ball, you know, try to give it to Cam a little bit. You know, we saw them give up a significant amount of yards versus Seattle, and then try to take some shots. That's what they did last week and really try to move this ball because this Patriots offense isn't – I don't think they're able to sustain drives like they have been in the past. This team is not the same. They have – I think their penalties are up higher this year. So they're going to try to take big chunk yards, and the Cardinals have done that, given that up a couple of times in the last couple of games when you think about Seattle and Buffalo giving up some deep shots that has allowed scores or put their team in a position to score. So – I definitely see them maybe looking at that and attacking in the air, even though they don't have any prolific passers. Cam has done a great job of spreading the ball out and really finding guys down the field. I mean, like I said last week, I mean, they had a guy that had a 42-yard bomb, 34-yard bomb, 50-yard bomb, Ryan Izzo. I mean, so it's guys making plays down the field.
You got your chance coming up in 15 minutes to win the Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate presented by Four Peaks. Last-minute entries, text GATE to 620-620, and we might say your name coming up at 7:30. Up next, another beautiful part of the program on the Lowdown with Lorenzo Alexander, where one former Cardinals linebacker stares down maybe a future star at linebacker? Or is that a stretch? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
We talked about playing a gender-free football with every man being a star in his role.
Lob pass near side, picked off by Baker. The highest paid safety in the game. Maybe the best safety in the game.
This guy strikes like a cobra.
Throws it deep, far side, into the end zone. It is picked off by Patrick Peterson. Quick throw over the middle, picked off. It's intercepted at the 40-yard line. Isaiah Simmons has it.
When you watch the way they're playing, the physicality, the way they're flying around with the football and having fun doing so, it's a fun culture to be around.
Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals now.
Every Thursday, it's the Lowdown with Lorenzo Alexander. And even though it's a Wednesday, you know what? Since we have the day off tomorrow, thanks to everyone that fought for our freedom, we wanted to celebrate by being able to bring Zoe on a Wednesday to talk football because we didn't want to miss out on the Lowdown. Since you played linebacker for the Arizona Cardinals, since you've played with a lot of good young, any linebacker of any team, what are you seeing from Isaiah Simmons right now when every game it seems like he does a little more and a little more?
Yeah, you know what? He's the type of player that would make me excited to, like, go back into a locker room, you know, kind of come out and help mentor and help him through that maceration process because he has all the skill set, the tools to be great in this league, and you can see him developing over this season thus far. And so it's been really fun to kind of watch him gain his role. You know, he had to start off on special teams after not having the greatest of first games and just staying there, didn't hear nobody complaining. And just kind of worked and got his opportunity, some through injury, and it's really been cool to kind of watch him flourish and see the game slow down in some ways for him. You know, long, athletic, made a couple of plays. It might have even been in one of the Bills games, you know, standing about 10 yards from a guy, might have been Devin Singletary, and just closing on a check down and really breaking it up or causing Devin to drop it. And just seeing some of those athletic abilities him utilizing it, it's kind of fun to watch. And so I'm looking forward to him growing. You know, I think he can still use his length better, keeping guys off of him. I think that'll happen more and more he works, the stronger he gets in having a real offseason of you know, lifting weights and continue to develop, you know, still being a fairly young man. And so it's going to be fun to watch. But there's some other things, you know, still that's not quite there, but it comes with time. You know, time on task as far as coverage, being patient because he's so athletic. Sometimes I think he moves too fast when he doesn't because the other guy is just not in the same realm of his athleticism. And so he puts himself out of position, not necessarily what the guy is doing. He's like overreacting when he doesn't have to. Mm. And then just playing consistently with his eyes. And that comes with maturity as well and not guessing sometimes, but just playing my gap. And then sometimes it's intuition, but sometimes you just got to stay where you need to be because a lot of times the ball is going to find you. And great players always seem to find it. So just play true to who you are.
If you were going to give him advice as to how to be the best pro he can possibly be, right, what would you tell him? So if you were going to give Isaiah Simmons advice as to how to be a pro.
I think the biggest thing is never becoming complacent at where you're at or okay. And that kind of covers everything underneath the sun because you're always trying to figure out how can I improve my game? How can I get better? So whether that's, you know, staying healthy, whether that's lifting, and getting a little bit bigger and stronger so I can play in the box. Maybe that's getting in my book or studying more film because I can always learn how I can be in a better position and understanding how the offense is attacking me based on what I've shown and what I'm capable of. So never getting complacent. And I don't care if you're an all pro, mm-hmm. or if you are, you know, just trying to scratch the surface where he's at, you always are trying to figure out ways to add to your game, change and evolve. Because as we see, you can have one great year and then the next be gone, or one great game and the next be gone because you're not evolving. You're not continuing to change and grow when other people around you are. And so that never stops. Mm-hmm. And that's even for I tell my son that all the time. You may be great right now, but it's a ton of people that are continuing to evolve if you want to stay complacent. And so that learning or that process of learning or enjoying the process never stops ever in life. And so that's the same principle that, you know, I would pretty much just tell Isaiah, because sometimes it can get hard when people tell you how good you are, you're starting to improve.
Yep.
Who knows where the rest of the season is going to go to. Then you get home, everybody's happy for you, and you kind of lose your sense because you've achieved your dream, you started playing better, and then you kind of like, okay, well, I think I'm good. Then I can just kind of stay here. And that's why you see a lot of guys have that sophomore slump. So just never being complacent, always being aware of that and being intentional every day.
That's good.
So one of the most powerful interviews we've ever had on the show was Grant Hill saying that his mother used to tell him, don't fear failure because you learn from it. Fear success because most people don't.
Yeah,
meaning don't learn from it.
Yeah, it's true. And I was victim of it. You know, I made a Pro Bowl and kind of just chilled a little bit and then came back, got hurt the next year. You just relax a little bit when things are good. Being fed, contract, you know, things just easy. You're not trying to push because you feel like there's no real no opposition or no adversity you're trying to overcome.
And then you think about Isaiah Simmons being a rookie in 2020. I mean, we all act like, hey, veterans help out the rookies. There's no veterans that's ever gone through being a rookie in 2020, not learning from what it's like life outside the team and how you get to know guys, and everything is so different. Here's Isaiah Simmons yesterday talking about getting comfortable with the NFL life off the field, but doing it in a pandemic. And I don't know why I can't hear a word, and I just, oh, here it is.
Thank you.
I would definitely say, you know, I probably have been more, you know, myself lately, just because, you know, I wasn't really, it's been a while since I haven't played in games. So, you know, it was kind of just battling that part with just, you know, outside of football with, you know, keeping my happiness and peace within myself was, you know, different because, you know, I'm not going home like, God, you know, that was a hard game for myself or anything. And I'm a really big critic of myself. So just trying to figure out why things were happening. And like, in my mind, I'm like, what did I do wrong? And it wasn't much of what I did wrong. It was more of just, you know, being patient and being able to learn the differences that was within this league.
Because he's talking about kind of going into his shell a little bit, Zoe, when he wasn't playing. He was professional, if I don't want to bring anybody down, but at the same time, really wasn't enjoying being around when he's not playing.
Yeah, I mean, that's hard. I mean, he's been the guy since he came out the womb, you know what I mean? So, I mean, that's a big time transition to where now you get to a level where now you're sitting on the bench or relegated, you know, people relegated to special teams and you're not playing traditional football in your mind as far as where you should be at. I mean, and it's a struggle. I mean, it's like with anything. If you were doing anything in this world at a high level and then all of a sudden somebody else comes in and they get the promotion over you, you're going to struggle with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a mental gymnastics that you have to work through and understand, being patient, continue to work while you wait, find joy in other places in the game, whether it's special teams or whatever your role is. And then another thing is he probably had packages doing out these times that we were probably unaware of.
Mm-hmm.
And because the game didn't unfold a certain way, he didn't get as many reps as he probably thought he was going to get. So he had that excitement for that, and then, man, I couldn't even do nothing. And so that's probably what he may be referencing to, like he thought he was going to play, but it was really nothing he did wrong. Maybe just the way the game unfolded, and Vance never felt like he could implement that package. And so that's, I mean, it's just hard. You get excited, oh, I'm about to play finally. Oh, no, I got to wait, or whatever it may be. So it's a mental gymnastics, and I'm just good that the young man has finally got his opportunity to go out there and showcase over a period of multiple reps that he can play in this league and make plays and be very productive.
To your point as well, Zoe, if he really means I'm a really big critic of myself, that is a great quality to have as well.
Yeah,
you want to talk about, you know, a little bit of humility, taking off the rose-colored glasses. If, in fact, he means that, be your harshest critic, that is a great character trait to have.
I mean, you have to. I mean, all the great ones have to do that because sometimes coaches are good, you know, your production was so good, they're not going to really coach you, depending on who your coach is. Now, some coaches don't care how good you are. They're always going to push you. But you can find coaches that will just be comfortable because he went out there, had, what, 10 sacks or 10 tackles,
right,
a sack, a couple of PBUs. Yep. Oh, man, you played great, bro. You played great. But then he's watching the game. Oh, my eyes. Oh, I took a false step. Oh, my hands were – I didn't use my hands well on this play. Those are the little incremental details that when you watch a game, most people don't see, that if he can see and recognize and grow from, if his coach is not giving that to him and give it to himself, that's when he'll continue to see the progress and grow and be great, because you don't know who your position coach may be at the time or whoever may be around you to help grow you. So you have to do that sometimes yourself as a pro.
Yep.
Last question. You feel good about Sunday with Cards Patriots?
Yeah, I feel good about it. You know, this team is still a good team. You know, it feels like when I'm on the outside looking in, everybody's up and down with the wins and losses. They're good. They're not good. But I still have a lot of faith in this team. Kyler, we'll see how his shoulder's doing. Hopefully he's good. He's had a, you know, extended time to rest there. But if they can go out there and just play efficient football offensively, not beat themselves, be, you know, because the only time I've seen teams stop them is when they get out of sorts a little bit where people are on the different pages. And so I think having this additional time, almost like another bye week, it would really help with that. Because I don't think this team can keep up with them in the Patriots with Kyler and his offense. And then the defense needs to come out and make some plays against Cam. And they'll be fine, but they have the players to do it.
Great.
So, happy Thanksgiving,
absolutely,
man. God bless you and your family, big guy.
I appreciate it. Same to you guys, too, and look forward to, at some point, you know, linking up.
Absolutely,
dude.
See you, Zo. There's Lorenzo Alexander joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. For your next new or pre-owned Nissan, go to coulternissan.com, west of the hassle. Coming up next, we're going to get give me a name here in a second, and I might call your name if you texted gate to 620-620. Be listening for your name. And it's Wednesday, even though it's a Friday. Who forgot? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Not high.
The Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate. Virtual Tailgate. It's your cue to call.
Okay, only call in right now if this is your name. Coming up at 10 minutes, you have the chance to steal the grill if this person doesn't call in. The clock starts right now for West Side's David Carrillo from Avondale.
602-260-9870.
David Carrillo, if you call in the next 10 minutes, you are the winner of the Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate presented by Four Peaks. We've got a $700 barbecue grill for you, David. We've got an Arizona Sports cornhole set that's custom-made and looks outstanding. And you will have the secret password for an Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate for Sunday's game against New England. And you'll be able to learn a little bit about football, have a good time, and you might win a $250 prize pack from Four Peaks, including a Yeti grill. David Carrillo, call 602-260-9870. If David doesn't call in 10 minutes, you can steal David's grill.
Who is the best in the NFL? Doug and Wolf's NFL Power Poll.
That's 3 days in a row.
Brought to you by IBEW Local 640, the best electricians in the world.
Doug is stacking the deck towards his side of town.
West Side!
That was pretty cool that it was West Side. By the way, Minch told me I said, I guess I wasn't even listening to myself, that I said a Yeti grill, and I meant a Yeti cooler. Yeti does not make grills. It's funny. Yeah. Minch will correct me sometimes, and I'm thinking, what are you talking about? Because I don't realize I said something stupid. I just think, yeah, I know Yeti makes coolers. Why do you have to correct me?
Well, it's one of their core.
Then I realize I didn't say that.
You're just extending their brand. You know, the core competencies there, Doug. Way
maybe that's their problem.
Way to
if
go.
You've already mastered the cooler, why not extend yourself out when it comes to tailgating?
Number five.
A long time ago, Wolf went nuts about how many Cardinals fans felt bad that their team wasn't ranked high enough in power polls. So when Wolf got done with his rant, we made fun of power polls by starting a power poll, and we've never stopped. My number five team, I don't know if you guys had as much trouble as I did with number five, because every number five has a really bad loss to somebody else. My number five lost to Jacksonville this year. But after they beat the Packers, I like them better than anybody else. For the first time this year, I got the Colts in my power poll at number five.
Tough defense.
The Colts are 7-3. The Titans are 7-3. The Seahawks are 7-3. The Bills are 7-3. But it's the 7-3 Packers because you know what? Their quarterback is barely trying. Aaron Rodgers hasn't even turned it on yet. He's going through the motions, and they're 7-3. As soon as you see some intensity out of Aaron Rodgers, look out. Packers are number five.
Well, okay, I automatically know my power poll is better than Paul's because the Colts just beat the Packers, and that's why I put them at number five.
No, he's not trying. That's what I'm telling you.
Okay.
And if it wasn't for Scanlon, whatever his name is, with the four names fumbling the ball,
that
I mean, my good, just give him the ball game.
Ladies and gentlemen, right now, the Los Angeles Rams at number 5. You better believe it, with that defense, Jared Goff, and that offense, they're potent, they're capable, but it's that defense that makes them special. The LA Rams, number 5.
To have them only at number 5 is anti-Cal bias, which I normally support.
Number 4.
For me, at number 4 is the Los Angeles Rams. That's where they belong. I've got the Rams at number 4. They're tied for the 2 seed. They got the tiebreaker over Green Bay right now. And the Rams, we have to accept it whether you want to or not. They are for real. They've had enough good wins where you look at that team and say not only are they one of the better teams in the NFL, they might be the best team in the NFC.
I think the Saints have an issue. They have an identity issue. What exactly is their offense, the best offense? I think the waters are getting muddied a little bit without Drew Brees. What exactly are they going to do when he comes back? For that reason, their stock is sinking for me. The Saints at number 3.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, no, how are we at number 3 already?
No, we're at number 4.
We're at number four. Right, there we go. That's all right, Paulie. I was just wondering. The Green
Yeti
Bay
grill,
Packers.
Paul.
The Green Bay Packers at number 4 right now, 7-3. Aaron Rodgers next.
Number
3. Paul, I'm doubling down on yours. I have the Saints at number 3, not at number 4. And I realize they are playing strange football right now. But when you can win with your backup quarterback, to me, that elevates you. And they're the best team in the NFC record-wise. And they're on a 7-game winning streak. I like the Saints at number 3.
I like the Rams at number 3. If it wasn't for Miami and the fact that their sideline was 130 degrees in the direct sun, they probably get a win against the Dolphins, and they have the same record as the New Orleans Saints. I just like the fact you have the Rams coming off wins against the Seahawks and the Bucs. Obviously, Sean McVay can coach himself some offense. Now they have a defense. Rams, to me, are more of a complete team than the Saints, and that's why they're number 3.
Okay, Basinonians, I'm going to go with the New Orleans Saints at number 3 right now. Drew Brees is hurt, and yeah, that's a big, big question mark for the Saints going forward. But you know what? I like the way they play with Taysom Hill, and that defense is really underrated. Saints, number 3.
Number 2.
Number 2, because, Paul, of BPI issues, strength of schedule and strength of victory, the Chiefs have had a harder schedule. And therefore, I don't care that they're undefeated. The Steelers are at number 2.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
No.
Get off it, Douglas.
And more no. Although, you know what? I'm looking at Ryan Clark's power rankings on ESPN in real time. He's got the Steelers number 2 as well. Guess what?
It's his own team.
You know what? So there's comfort in numbers for you, Doug. You and Ryan Clark are both wrong because Kansas City is number 2.
The Kansas City Chiefs, the very capable, very good, unbelievable Kansas City Chiefs, they're 2.
Number 1. Numero uno.
Unbelievable. And beyond a shadow of a doubt, as everybody knows, the number 1 team in the NFL coming off that Sunday night win on the road, that's got to be the Kansas City Chiefs.
I got the Steelers number 1, and there's one reason. Mike Tomlin, his comment on the game against the Ravens.
You know, we're desperate, too.
Oh.
We're all desperate to win this week.
Yep.
I'd imagine they view us in the same way, or I'd imagine it would...
Coach Tomlin's on top of his game, and so are the Steelers atop the power pole.
The Steelers, number 1.
Oh, no. You guys are both afraid.
The Doug and Wolf NFL Power Pole.
By the way, Ryan Clark has the Raiders number 5.
Why, he moved them up in a loss.
At 6-4, so... Okay, they were ultra-competitive, obviously, against Kansas City, and they're the one team that seems to give Kansas City consistent problems. All right, the Raiders. I'm more of a believer than I was before last week, no doubt.
It's a strange season for the Raiders because their losses, they've got a loss at home to Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay's been so up and down, it's hard to read that. They've lost to New England on the road, and that was when we didn't know anything about New England, so that loss looks a lot worse now. But they only lost to Buffalo by a touchdown. That was a one-possession game. And then that Chiefs game, I think everybody that watched it knows they were right there. And if you are almost sweeping, if you're what, I think it was like 68 seconds or 90 seconds away from sweeping the Kansas City Chiefs,
mm-hmm.
That does say an awful lot about the Raiders.
You know, honestly, right now, just thinking about the plight of the New Orleans Saints is very interesting to me, and the reason being is because of Drew Brees, right? Taysom Hill, of course, and this new era offense.
Drew Brees!
Is it time where Sean Payton is going to start installing this offense, right, into the New Orleans Saints and what they're going to do? Drew Brees, 11 broken ribs. 11.
Yeah, that was real. And he thinks he broke eight of them in a game before. Played with eight, broke another three the next game, and that's when he went out.
Okay. Now, are we talking 11 fractures in his rib cage?
Yes.
How many ribs do you even have as a human being? I mean, honestly, I should know that. I should Google that up before exposing myself on air looking like an idiot.
11 broken ribs. That's what it is, 11. I'm no trainer, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not, but you have to wonder if he's done.
The vast majority of people, according to Healthline.com, are born with 12 pairs of ribs for a total of 24.
Okay. All right. So he's not even halfway there.
Well,
okay.
He got front and back, of course.
So are we going to see the flak jacket back in the NFL? When's the last time we saw the flak jacket on a quarterback?
Still, I mean, look at Taysom Hill. He's still got it on.
I know. He's all padded up. So you've got – if we have problems with the Saints, that's what's amazing. They're 8-2. So to be 8-2 and on a 7-game winning streak.
Rolling.
Yet, admittedly, the Saints' schedule, it just gets easier and easier as the season goes. Before this weekend, they hadn't played Atlanta yet. So they got one game in against Atlanta, and guess who they play in 2 weeks? Atlanta again. They go Denver, Atlanta, Philly.
Oh.
Then it gets a little hairy with the Chiefs. So that you might have a Super Bowl game against the Chiefs. They play the Chiefs on December 20th. So there's still a lot. I mean, like I said, though, for me, it was all about number five. I mean, you mentioned the standings of people, Paul.
It's incredible.
At number five. And the race for the AFC playoffs is crazy. Bills, Colts, Titans, Browns, 7-3. Raiders, Ravens, Dolphins at 6-4. That is the 3 through the 9 seed right now. One of those teams I mentioned is not making the playoffs, probably two of them. And then there's Rams and Packers, too. And Seattle and Tampa Bay. So there's a lot there. Coming up next, Wolf tells you why Thanksgiving is so great on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Coming up a little bit later in the show, in the 9 o'clock beautiful part of the program, or in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll do the next part of research and Doug. And I want to tell you a stat that's really important about Kyler Murray. And I'll give you more on that later. In the meantime, I want to give you an opportunity to be a winner in our Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate presented by Four Peaks. Because guess what? David from Avondale did not call.
He did not.
Did not call. So you can call up and steal David's grill. And I tell you what, since I had some fun earlier, we did our four down territory, the four things we're thankful for in Arizona sports. Let's just make it caller number four. Right now, caller number four, you'll have the opportunity to be a winner if you call 602-260-9870 and you could steal David's grill for the Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate presented by Four Peaks Brewing Company. But I want to give you a warning. Keep calling because right now, Command and Control, both Minch and Maloney, are busy on another phone call. And I don't know when we'll be able to answer the phone. So I'll just put the pressure on you that keep calling, and we'll tell you when we have a winner, and I'll explain a little later why they're busy on the phone right now and might not be able to answer your phone call because there's a lot going on all at the same time. Shoulder Watch 2020, which is huge because not just can he throw – will he be able to run?
Yeah, I feel good. Obviously getting banged up a little bit past couple weeks, but not today. I feel fine. I feel good.
And the reason why I say will he be able to run, you don't normally talk about a shoulder and running, but remember Cliff Kingsbury in his exclusive interview with Burns and Gambo, normally with Bickley and Murata at 12:15, but because of scheduling differences this week and the short week and everything that's going on Thanksgiving-wise, Cliff Kingsbury joined Burns and Gambo. Burnsy just asked him, did you call more conservative plays for Kyler, less running plays for Kyler because of the shoulder? And he said, no question. Yes, he did.
Yeah, and there's no doubt about it. That's going to be a big factor going into Sunday's game against the Patriots as well, right? How healthy is that shoulder going to be? If, in fact, he's ready to go and he is healthy, then we're going to see called runs for Kyler Murray. But we've seen it in the past. I go back to his rookie year, Week 17 against the Rams, that last game of the season right there when he had a hamstring. Remember, they didn't call any runs for Kyler Murray in that game, and it totally changed – the way the Rams defended the Arizona Cardinals. They did not bite on anything on the edge, anything on the perimeter. They overplayed the inside. They hunkered down and played a north-south style of defense. And I would imagine that probably is going to be the same thing. It'll be the same thing the Patriots are going to do if, in fact, Kyler Murray's shoulder is an issue. I don't think that it's going to be an issue, and because of that, I think they're going to come out and run some of that zone read package that we've seen before.
And therefore, you assume that's going to be a major focus of Coach Belichick to be able to stop it. Kyler Murray was asked, did he throw it all today? Today meaning yesterday when he spoke to the media about practice.
Yeah, just warming it up. Like I said, trying to limit those throws, but at the same time, make sure I'm ready.
He's going to have to be ready, right? I mean, this is a huge game right here, and how Kyler Murray goes for the most part is how the Arizona Cardinals are going, up and down. It's so interesting to see this young Mustang of a quarterback, and that's how I see Kyler Murray, a guy that has got all of this raw ability, all of this talent. I see him as a Mustang, right, and somebody that eventually is going to get it together and be very, very productive in terms of winning games, a whole lot of games. Building your offense around Kyler Murray and the intangible part of it, I think, for him now is his biggest challenge. Not the tangible, but the intangible. He knows how to run the ball. He knows how to throw the ball. He's got a gifted arm. He's a gifted football player. But my goodness, the intangibles and being a franchise quarterback, it takes years to develop those skills.
Then with Kyler and then where he is, now what are you going to be able to do going up against New England? And this is, it's kind of funny, Kyler was asked about any experience he has in New England. Not a lot of quarterbacks say this.
I was there for like a month. It was a obvious, I mean, if you know about the league, it's, you know, best college baseball league in the summer.
He was in the Cape Cod League. That's his New England experience. How many quarterbacks can say that?
So there's a lot of great talent. It was different. Didn't have a car. Slept in a basement. Showered outside. It was an unusual start to the summer for me. But I wouldn't trade it for the world. It's part of the experience, and it was a great experience.
I mean, how does that not grab you at the humbleness of you're the only human being, granted it wasn't true yet, to be drafted in the top 10 of the baseball draft and the football draft. You're still a college player in the college wood bat league, the Cape Cod League, and it's like you're with guys that really may never make it. Probably will never make it, even though they're the elite of college baseball. You are definitely the elite, and you're showering outside, sleeping in a basement.
You know what? He wouldn't trade it for the world. That's what he said right there. Man, do I, that resonates with me, my friends, because honestly, just growing up, I would not trade my youth for the world either. Growing up and doing it as a son of a truck driver, right? Being poor, all of the lessons that it taught me, all of the drive that it allowed me to have as well. I mean, it paid dividends down the road, but that's really cool to hear Kyler Murray say, you know what, I wouldn't trade it for the world, because that experience, it teaches you a lot.
He's so reserved. He doesn't hate the media, but it's almost like he loves football and sports and working so much, he still doesn't embrace the fact that, hey, media is my job. That's what I respected about Carson Palmer the most. Carson Palmer didn't have anything against the media, but at the same time, it was, this isn't why I play, so I'm not really promoting my brand, but I totally respect my job as quarterback to speak to the media. Because if I'm talking to you, somebody else doesn't have to do the talking.
Yes.
So he accepted that responsibility. And little by little, Kyler's kind of getting into that. He'll never embrace it. Yay, I get to do a presser. But he does more and more kind of understand, this is what I need to do. And he's had a little bit of growth since his frustrating press conference after the loss, when he really struggled in that loss with the press conference and didn't want to be there, and it showed, and kind of learned, you know what, if I'm supposed to be the quarterback, when I'm talking, it kind of protects everybody else. And that's one of those stories that you don't often get. out of Kyler.
Yeah, absolutely. Bill Belichick, of course, and the Patriots, they're going to approach us, I would imagine, in two different ways. Rundown situation and stopping Kyler Murray and taking away what the Arizona Cardinals do best in rundown situation, which classically, of course, is first and 10, second and 1-6, and then, of course, on third down. The third and obvious pass situations in particular right now. And I think that really is going to be beneficial to the Arizona Cardinals if, in fact, Kyler Murray and that offense can stay out of that third and obvious pass situations. Because I think there's going to be two different approaches in regard to that. How the New England Patriots do it in rundown situation, how they defend Kyler Murray, and how they defend Kyler Murray on third and obvious pass situations. Those are the two things I cannot wait to see early in this contest.
Bill Belichick was asked a simple question. When you look at Kyler and you look at the running game and you look at Fitz and you look at D-Hop and you look at Kirk.
You know, they have a lot of guys that can, make big plays, that run well. And, you know, Cliff does a good job with the offense of, you know, getting the ball to space, getting the ball to receivers that have, you know, or whether they be backs, tight ends, or receivers, but getting the ball to somebody in space where they don't have an opportunity to make big plays. So I think they probably make as many as anybody, and they're hard to defend. They do a good job.
That's what I'm really interested in seeing right there when I talk about third and obvious pass situations, right? Third and 8+, somewhere in there. I'm thinking of DeAndre Hopkins. I'm thinking of how they're going to take away DeAndre Hopkins. You hear it all the time. Bill Belichick is a master. He's a master of a lot of things, Basinonians. I absolutely love playing for him. I'd do it tomorrow if I could still play because I loved his approach as a head coach. He put all the onus on you to go out and do your job, and I love that. I loved it, but I think he's going to try to take away DeAndre Hopkins in third and obvious pass situations. How they're going to do that to me is really cool. I'm sure they're going to mix it up. They'll change it up. They won't give Kyler Murray a steady diet of anything. But to me, it's how they're going to go about doing it that is so fascinating.
Well, since you feel that way about him, we have about, I'm going to put the number at about a 15% chance.
Okay.
15% chance to give you the third biggest surprise you've ever had on the Doug and Wolf Show.
Oh, no.
I mean, it's not as big as...
Man, it's the Freaky League himself, man.
It's not as big as Petey Pablo.
Petey Pablo.
Well, let's see if we can pull it off and shock Wolf. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.